After a short break, Sportspiel is back, bigger and better than ever before. Our ethos is still the same though. We are here as the Players Podcast, sharing the incredible stories sport continues to provide us with and give a platform to promote some of this country's incredible talent. But now, rather than splitting each episode between an interview and discussion section, we will be solely focusing on the former, bringing you the best and most in-depth discussions with athletes from across the spectrum and telling stories that often don't get the recognition they deserve. Fear not, we will also be hosting monthly discussion episodes too, where we welcome our fellow journalists and experts and continue to look at some of the bigger issues in the sporting world. But for now, let's kick off our brand new feature interview-only podcast, and who better to start with than GB trampolinist Laura Gallagher. Regular listeners will know that we were incredibly lucky to share an exclusive interview with Laura earlier this year, where she opened up publicly for the first time about her struggles with injury, mental health and identity that led her to take a break from the sport before coming back to win her first ever British Championship gold just a few months later. It was one of our most powerful ever episodes, one of the most listened to episodes, and for me personally, an absolute joy and privilege to be able to conduct. While time limitations meant we couldn't quite go as in-depth as we did with Laura last time, we catch up with her and see what she's been up to since we last spoke, how things are going in her quest to appear at her first ever Olympic Games next year, what it's like being a professional trampolinist, and the reaction she received to her first interview with us back in March. Welcome back, listeners, to this first brand new revamped Sportspiel episode. And after the success of our last interview with her, who better to welcome on than Laura Gallagher once again? So, welcome back, Laura. How does it feel to be back on the show?
Really good. It was nice to actually meet you in person this time.
It certainly was. I always prefer face-to-face interviews. I think you can actually get a little bit more, little bit more out of them. But obviously, we told an incredible story of yours last time, which we'll briefly touch upon. But first of all, we spoke in December.
Yes.
Episode went to air in March. We're now in August.
Yep.
How's things been for you since then?
Yeah, really good. It's been quite a busy time. Sorry, did it go out last March? Like just March?
Yeah, gone. March just gone.
Oh my God, it felt a lot longer ago than that. Yeah, it's been a really busy time. This the first part of the year has been quite busy. We had a couple of the World Cups early on, and then we've had a really long training period, so we've been working really hard, making lots of gains, and outside of trampolining, I finished my degree, so that was quite a relief, and one less thing to focus on now.
It's been quite a busy time for you then. I know we struggled to find a date where we could actually meet up. Is that normal for you, the level of busyness you've got?
Yeah, I think so. I think I try and get the... For me, it's really important to get the balance right between my training and work, my training and life balance right. And so I've been away quite a lot recently. So we went to Japan on a training camp. And so when I came home, it was prioritising around training, making sure that I saw, like, spent time with my husband and some caught up with some friends and things. So I think it had a bit of a burst and now it's just settling back down. But generally it is quite busy because I live in Somerset, but most of my training's done in Shropshire and at Lillishall. So for most part of the week I'm up there and then I come home at the weekend. So it feels like I'm on the go the whole time.
You've got quite a busy period coming up as well. We were chatting before, you have, I think, two World Cups and the British Championships, almost like back to back to back.
Yeah.
As an athlete, is that something you really look forward to, or is it something you feel slightly nervous about, so many big competitions at once?
Personally, I'm really looking forward to it because we don't actually get back to back competitions very much anymore. They're fairly spaced out normally, so it's pretty unusual to have three so close together. But I'm actually really looking forward to it because I think that you kind of get into a bit of a rhythm, and good or bad, you can kind of address the last competition. It's really fresh in your mind. So I think the things that will be a bit tough for this period is the travel time. Like we're going to I'm not sure how you say it. I think it's Khabarovsk or something, which is like the other side of Russia. So it's quite a long travel time. And then we come back, and then there's the British Championships that weekend. And then the following week is a World Cup in Spain. So, it's pretty hectic in terms of travel time and trying to fit in training and make sure you're on top of your game when you come to the competition is going to be just really important.
And as we discussed last time, British Championships have some very special memories for you, so I guess you must be really looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, I love the British Championships. It's really nice to see all the youngsters compete as well and just be part of your club as well, representing your club, and just having, it's always a really good atmosphere. You get to see some faces that you don't see as much anymore throughout the year, and I'm really looking forward to competing at the British.
And these World Cups, I guess if you could sort of explain it in fairly layman's terms sort of their significance in terms of building up towards Olympics next year, I guess.
Yeah, so each World Cup is part of our qualification for our Great Britain. So as a team, we're aiming to qualify our Great Britain places. So we're looking to qualify the maximum quota of 2 places for the men and 2 places for the women, which is going okay so far. We've had 2 World Cups. There's 6 World Cups in total, and you take your 4 best scores. So they're all very important. On a personal point of view, I didn't do so well at the first World Cup. I was a bit disappointed with my performance there. But the second World Cup, I performed much better and finished in 6th in the final. So hopefully, after this long training gap as well, I've made up some changes. So I'm hoping that will pay off in the next 2 World Cups.
So when will it be confirmed that Great Britain have those quota places out there?
Not for a very long time. We have almost another year. Like we, because then the second part of the qualification, so to qualify a second place, we need to qualify a different person into the final at the World Championships, which are in Tokyo later on this year. So it's a big ask. It's a difficult qualification process, but we've got a really good team. It's a strong team. We can do it. We just need to be firing on all cylinders when we get to the competitions.
And you've had a small taste of what life could be like at the Olympics. You went on a training camp to Japan recently. How was that experience for you?
It was a really good experience. I love Japan. I've not been to Tokyo before. We stayed in the hotel. We were going to stay on the site, but the swimmers were also there, so there wasn't enough space at the uni. So we got to train where the holding camp would be next year. It's going to have a total makeover. I think everything's coming out of that gym. It's just at the university, Keio University, which is where we'll be based. So we got to, get a real feel for the place. There was a lot of steps, which I believe they're going to have a separate route into the uni, so we don't have to do all the steps. There was 158 steps, which is quite fun, actually, to and from training. So I think they're all in the process of renovating and making sure it's all going to be spot on next year. So just getting a taste of the university and all of the different areas that we'll be next year. And it was quite exciting. We got to the Olympic stadium where the gymnastics will be held, and that's still under construction. But we're lucky enough that we get to compete there later on in the year at the World Championships. So that's pretty cool. So it gets finished in November, and the Worlds are in November too. So I'm really looking forward to hopefully being there for that.
Going it fine though. What was the atmosphere like out in Japan among sort of the locals? Because there's been a big thing in the last few years about how they're gearing everything in their country towards this Olympics. And we've noticed that in hockey and in football as well, that they're really preparing their team to peak at the Olympics. Is there quite a buzz out there about it?
Yeah, definitely. There's lots of the merch shops popping up everywhere. There's quite a lot of excitement, I think. There's construction everywhere. And they're clearly putting a lot of investment and effort into the games. And it's really exciting.
And for you guys, it was an experience, not just for trampolining to to have out there, but also you bonded together with the artistic gymnastics as well. How was it sort of sharing time with those guys and getting together as a wider squad?
Yeah, it's really good to get to mix it up a bit, because we're quite a small squad. It's quite nice to have like a bigger squad to train with. And also, we're all at Lillishall, we train separate gyms. So the artistic gym's in one place and our trampoline gym's in another. So it was quite nice to be able to be in the same space. It just had a bit added to a bit more of the atmosphere there. And it was just really cool to get to know more faces and just like bond together as a team. It was good.
What is life like as a professional elite trampolinist? Because I guess for me in hockey, it's very centralised that we have 25 athletes in each squad. They spend every day training at Bisham. They all train together. But I guess for you guys, it's slightly different than that, isn't it?
It's becoming more that way. I think like we've come up through a time when it wasn't centralised at all. We didn't have like a one base. That's only happened in like the last cycle. So we're really lucky now that it's coming towards everything being in one place and we can access that really well. There's more access to the support services, to our national coaches, and you know that really adds to our training. So I'd say most of the time I pretty much am at I spend most of my time at Lillishall. I'll be there from Monday to Friday most weeks, so it's like this is the odd week that I'm actually training at home now, so everything's sort of shifted and changing from when it was, you know, we were all very isolated in our own clubs, and sort of you'd have random elite trampolinists across the country training, it's sort of in isolation at their own clubs. So it's nice to have everyone together and building up together.
And even though trampolining is largely sort of an individual sport, from what we see on social media, especially with you guys, you seem to have a great team ethos as well, men and women. It must be a really sort of special group of people to be competing with.
Yeah, definitely. I think especially with the women's team, we've all sort of come up together as senior gymnasts, and so we know each other really well. And obviously Izzy has come up from the junior ranks, but she has been very much a part of the team for a long time, so we all know each other really well, and we definitely push each other on, and we are very tight as a team. I think coming up through the sport together, we've seen how it is when you don't work together as a team and how it is when you do, and it's certainly more successful when you are all together as one, and pushing each other on the same mission.
And given the success of Kat and Bryony at Rio last time, there's probably going to be a bit more scrutiny and a little bit more media attention towards you guys this time. Is that something you're relishing, you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't thought about that too much. I just think it's quite exciting that we get the opportunity to build on what they did last time, because what they did was awesome and it was so good for the sport. And, you know, they're still... You know, they're both in the squad, and I'm sure they have other things they want to do differently this time and achieve more. So, it's a really exciting time.
Listeners, did you know Sportspiel is partners with the Mintridge Foundation? This fantastic charity was founded back in 2015 by Managing Director Alex Wallace. You might remember she was a guest on this podcast shortly before she won the Sunday Times Sportswoman of the Year Grassroots Award back in 2018. But what do they do? Well, the charity is all about using life experiences to promote an active lifestyle for children and young people using the power of sporting role models to help. The foundation has a community of 31 elite sports people working as ambassadors on each of the Mintridge Foundation's programmes. They work with schools, colleges, universities, clubs and associations, but more importantly, they help change young lives. You might even have heard some of their ambassadors on this very show. Danielle Brown and Shona McCallan are just two of them. And you can hear them talk about the work they do with Mintridge in their respective interviews. So if you want to find out more, support the charity, or get involved, then check out their website, www.mintridgefoundation.org.uk. That's www.mintridgefoundation.org.uk.
Since we last spoke, I guess we released the podcast and we released the blog, and it's fair to say that there was a lot of love from a lot of people for your story and the way you told your story as well, and we are so grateful that you trusted us with it. I guess, when that went out for you, how did that feel? Did it feel like the sort of a closing of a chapter and a, like you put something to bed?
Yeah, I think definitely. I feel like I've evolved as a person and a gymnast, and I think that I didn't have any idea that I was going to talk about that when I spoke to you last time. It just sort of came out, and I think I was just ready to close the door on that and actually just not forget it, but just completely move on from it, because everything's changed. I'm a different person now, and I'm in a much better place, and I was just ready just to dump that and close the door on it and not have to sort of pay it too much attention anymore, because I was just sort of ready to let it go. Yeah, so I was a bit nervous when it came out. I didn't really as soon as I stopped speaking to you, I didn't really know why I just said everything that I just said, but it just happened.
Well, no, as we were talking about before, it was the one time I've been left speechless during an interview. I was like, don't know where to go from here. Hadn't planned for this, but for us, I mean, it's the most read piece on the 52 by far. It's our second most listened to podcast ever. I think more listeners than Elise Christie, so congratulations on that. What were the reactions?
Hang on a minute. Who is the most listened to?
Alice is going to kill me because we talked about this at the weekend.
Or don't say it, because actually I don't want to give it more attention.
You're the most listened to. What was the reaction from friends, family, sort of like when they'd seen that and heard that you'd done this?
My husband didn't have too much to say about it, I think, because, and also my family, I think they were really, like, my mum said that she said it was a brilliant interview, really proud of you. And mum doesn't say proud of you very much. We're not really like, I love you or proud of you, or that sort of family. But she just said, she had goosebumps when she listened to it. And I think for Matt, I think it was a hard time to revisit. It was difficult. But also, it's really supportive as usual. And but yeah, it was a really positive response. I was a bit surprised. I also felt like it took me some time to almost share it, if that makes sense, on like my social media platforms. But I think I just needed it to sink in a little bit. But yeah, I had a positive response, which was quite a surprise. And people saying they could relate to the story, which is maybe a good thing.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a good thing. And it was a story I, in my own way, could sort of relate to as well. So for me to be able to help you with that was really special for me. And I guess it's a really exciting time for you now, potentially in the next year or so. How are you feeling about sort of everything that's coming up?
I feel way more relaxed than I have done in the run-up to, say, London. And Rio was different. I was out of it way early on from injury, and I was not fit enough and strong enough and in every way. So I do feel more relaxed, I feel more experienced, I feel more prepared, I feel really excited. I don't feel worried, because whatever happens, I know I'm going to be okay. But I also feel really up for the challenge. So I feel like I have a good balance of everything at the moment, and I just hope it stays that way. And I hope that I can meet my dreams.
And one thing you mentioned before, that you had fallen out of love with the sport, I guess you must still be loving it, just loving what you're doing on top of everything else.
Absolutely, yeah. And loving it more than ever. It's been such an incredible journey. I just think it shows what you can do if you just keep going. So nothing's ever smooth, but actually sometimes you might have a dip and have a bad day, but come out the other side. And for me, that bad day went on for maybe a couple of years, and I just needed to press stop, and then now I'm back in the game, I'm just loving it more than ever. And yeah, I'm still definitely feel unfinished and have lots that I want to do. So yeah, I hopefully I'll have another really good year.
We wish you all the very best. We thank you for coming on the show. Laura is actually hopefully going to be making a few more appearances in the next year. We're just going to thrash that out and discuss that now between us. But yeah, thank you for the time. And I know everyone at Sportsbill, all our listeners, wish you all the very best for the next year. And we hope you succeed in everything you want to.
Oh, thank you very much.
A huge thank you once again to Laura for coming back on the show and spending some time with us. As mentioned previously, we hope this won't be Laura's last appearance either, as she has agreed to help out with an exciting project, the details of which we'll be revealing more about in the upcoming months. In the meantime, please remember to subscribe to the podcast in all of your usual places and follow us on social media. Our handles are SportsBillPod, and we can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube and LinkedIn. Alistair will be back in 2 weeks with a brilliant interview with an athlete we have both long admired, so we look forward to welcoming you back to Sportsbill then.